What's up, everybody? Welcome to Friendship Frequency. This is a podcast where we talk about our real life struggles and what has worked for us. We get vulnerable and discuss our everyday lives, and we invite you to go on this journey to better yourself right along with us. I'm Tab Johnson.
And I'm Aaron Windhorn.
And this is who we are, and this is what we do.
Hola, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Think I'm getting a little sick, but I know you're a little under the weather yourself, so.
I am, but I'm on my way out. So if you're on your way in, prayers.
Yeah.
I legit thought I might die.
I hear that there's walking pneumonia going around, so.
And you know what? Now that you say that, it would not surprise me if that's where I was. Just heavy chest. You know, hard to get a good breath and just exhausted, dude. Like, it wiped me out. So, yeah. But I'm on my way back up. I actually got up this morning, worked out. Wasn't a super hard workout, but, you know, I had to make sure I was going to live through it first. Right. But worked out and slowly but surely went into work and, you know, getting back into the swing of things. So thank God for that. Yeah. So for you, plenty of fluids, Mucinex, shout out Mucinex in case you want to sponsor somebody.
I hear they're removing that FCC or whatever, the Food and Drug Administration, or they're
rid of Mucinex.
Yeah.
No, I better go buy some just to have some then. Oh my God. And Vicks. Yeah. Listen, I don't know if you saw my post, but on Facebook, but my dad, shout out daddy, if you're listening, I love you. I didn't know that you were listening until you said something the other day. And I love
you. What's up, Pops?
Yeah.
I've heard a lot about you, but haven't met you.
He responded on my Facebook post. He's like, Vicks. And listen, if you come from a Hispanic heritage, like, Vicks is the cure-all for everything. So he was like, Vicks, Vicks, Vicks. And then my aunt got on and was like, Vicks, Vicks, Vicks. And sure enough, I put Vicks on the bottom of my feet last night and put socks on and then under my nose so I could breathe. And literally woke up this morning and was like, oh, like, okay, all right. So Vicks.
I ain't never heard of putting it on the bottom of your feet, but I'm going to have to try that.
Listen, if you Hispanic people, please respond and give us the feedback. That is a real thing. That is a way of life for us. So, yeah.
Hey, if it works. I mean, my mom always used to put it on my chest. And when I get like really stuffy, I'll rub it underneath my nose.
Yeah. So, firm believer in that. I tried to fight it for a minute, but it worked. So, yeah. How was your day?
Really noted. It was good. Worked in Seattle today.
Right on.
Pretty easy day. Getting really cold out. It was, what, like 32 degrees this morning?
Yeah. My car said 30. Yep.
Yeah. All icy and I was like, damn, here we go. Yeah.
Yep, here we go. And I am not a fan. Let's just say that right now. Not a fan. I am grateful that I have a new vehicle that has remote start. And thank God for that. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Except when ghosts move your seat and stuff.
Yeah, that's not funny. That's not funny, Aaron. Like, I still to this day don't know what happened. And I'm not excited about it. So... I just pretend like it didn't happen. Denial.
That's why you got to have some cameras out front of your house.
So we do. We have the Ring, and we are not great about charging the battery for the one in the front.
Go figure.
Right? That would never be something I would do. So,
I mean, anyway. That's a stupid design anyway. Like, why would you need charge it? It should be like...
I think if you pay the extra money, you can get the ones that you don't have to charge. But I don't know if you know who I'm married to, but, you know, we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. You got to make it on him to charge it.
Right? I do. That's why it's not charged.
Damn it, Gina.
Right? So, I'm thinking we talk about, listen, it's no secret. I can talk nonstop, and I'm sure that people appreciate that. But I think that we need to dive into you. And I think that we need to talk about Aaron so that Aaron can talk.
Joy.
I knew you would be so excited. So let's get into it. Aaron, I have known you for about 2 years. You and I have become really close friends, not only through this podcast, but through other outside activities that we both are involved in. The walking group, you know, just living our normal everyday lives. You and I have a lot of things that we do together. And in the short time you and I have, you know, formed a friendship, that you're probably one of the closest people to me. And I just want everyone to see what I see in you and, you know, have the ability to kind of have a little glimpse into who you really are. Not that you're not real on the podcast, you absolutely are. But yeah, that's kind of my goal for this episode. And I know you're so excited. So tell me about you. No, don't say it. Don't say it. You're excited. Say, I'm excited.
I'm enthusiastic.
Good. I'll take that. I'll take that.
There we go.
I'll take that.
So I'm enthusiastic because whether I like to talk or not, I know my story can help a lot of people out there. And
absolutely. You
know, if I keep it in, you know, it's not helping people. So.
And that's what I want people to understand, is I know quite a bit of your story. And I think that's part of the reason why we're so close. So I want the rest of our audience to know that as well. So let's start with just a general, tell me about you. How did it, you know, start where you want to? And let's just get into it.
Sure. Well, most of you know I'm Aaron. I'm 48 years old. I'm perpetually single. I am off the market now, but we're not going to go there. So probably childhood, you know, I grew up, I have two older sisters. It was kind of...
Shout out, girls, if you're listening.
Yeah. Older sisters. I'm the baby, believe it or not. I don't remember too much of my early childhood. I know that there was a lot of abuse, and probably when I was 5 years old, my parents separated. My dad was kind of in and out of my life. You know, my mom would choose periodic points to allow him to come back. And I just remember, you know, just being a kid, but just always felt like something was different or I could never do anything right. I remember we were living in not White Center, but, probably near Sammamish or something like that. And this is the time when my dad was still in the picture, and he had told me to go in the backyard and play. And I was in the backyard playing. Well, an ambulance stopped in front of the house, and it freaked him out. So he called me in the house and basically beat my ass because he thought I was out front playing or got hurt or whatever, which makes no sense now that I think about it. But,
right.
You know. And I remember my dad's mom lived with us for a while, and she had some dementia going on. And I'd be in taking a bath, and she'd come dump a big old bag of toys on top of my head for whatever reason. You know, probably that dementia stuff going on. But I don't know. We, as a family, we kind of seemed to move a lot. And I got into a lot of trouble. You know, I was, you know, high in sight now that I think about it as I'm an adult, you know, being beat when I was a kid growing up. I was kind of a bully going up through school, mm-hmm. You know, beating up on other people up until probably high school. I realized that that wasn't very cool.
Right.
And, you know, had a couple jocks that tried to bully me, but it backfired on him. You know, it was just stupid. And high school is probably the time that I started drinking a little bit and then smoking weed. Probably from the age of 12, my mom couldn't handle me. So I got sent to like group homes and foster homes. And I think I moved back home when I was 14. I think it was my junior year of high school. And I transferred high schools, barely graduated, you know, graduated with just enough credits. And, getting really into drinking probably. And then when I was 18, graduated from high school. At the time, I was living with my mom. 2 weeks after I graduated from high school, she's like, oh, by the way, I'm moving to California. You're on your own.
Wow.
I had no place to live, no job.
Do you think you realized at that age that, like when you started drinking and smoking weed and stuff like that, do you think you realized at that age then that you were doing it to cope?
Or no.
I
just thought I was having a good time, but
yeah,
it wasn't until later in life that I realized I was doing it to cope and not have to feel.
Right.
So when my mom moved, the landlord ended up letting me stay at the house rent free for like 4 months. And wow. I just threw parties every day. And, I had no job. So why not get free beer? Because people bring it over, or free alcohol. That went on for a while. And just got really into drinking. And let's see. After the landlord kicked me out when I was 18, I think I moved in with my sister shortly. And then ended up moving in with my dad, and, just drinking, going out and getting plastered, coming home, passing out on the front porch, and my dad calling the paramedics because he couldn't wake me up, and, just scaring the shit out of everybody. And I was probably, 20 years old at the time, and I had a plane ticket with my sister to go visit my mom in California. And I just ended up staying there. I lived with her for probably about 6 months and then moved to a friend's place. And I got into doing real heavy drugs. And then at the place I was staying at, the ATF came and raided the place. I was the only one home. I was sleeping. Luckily, they didn't find nothing. So after that, I just continued. I was really into methamphetamines. You probably didn't know about that.
No, I didn't.
So then another friend was taking his brother to Santa Rosa, California for like 9 months to go work and asked if I wanted to go with. So I went down there with them. I lived in a tent in a campground for 9 months and ended up getting a job as a landscaper. That boss, the park closed because it floods every year under 9 feet of water. So I ended up moving in with him and his family, and we smoked weed every day. You know, we mow old people's yards and just get stoned and, whatever. And his wife did meth, so I basically could get meth from her anytime I wanted.
This is so wild. I don't, right? Listen, I don't know this part, you guys. Like, I don't know everything clearly. So go ahead.
Yeah. So I was at that point just kind of doing anything to escape.
Did you know that though? Like, did you know that or emotionally did you know that?
I meant not consciously, but maybe subconsciously. Yeah.
Okay.
I meant when you're kind of in that state, you're not really thinking, you're right. just doing. So after about 9 months, this was back when El Nino was happening, there wasn't much work. So I ended up moving back to Washington State and just continued to pick up my drinking. And it just kind of took off from there. I got my first DUI, was heading back from beering and drinking with my cousin, and got pulled over and got in a fight with some cops. And, you know, this just kept going on and on. And I ended up getting sober for about 5 years and, you know, was just enjoying life. But I stopped doing, at that time I was going to recovery meetings, but then after about a year, I stopped going to meetings and then found myself drinking again. And, just really went downhill quick. You know, they say, you know, that when you stop drinking, if you were to drink or start use it again, you kind of pick off where you left off. And that's exactly what I did. And I'm just amazed that like all the shit that I did, you know, as much drinking as I did, because not every time I drank, but you know, when I did drink, I didn't know how to stop, and I would continue to drink until I would black out.
Yeah.
And I do just keep drinking and do stupid shit. And, you know, I always hung out with people that were worse off than I was, so I didn't look so bad. I had a cousin that is now dead. He had a lot of mental issues, but I hung out with him quite a bit, and he was in and out of jail from an early age. And I hung out with him, so I didn't look so bad, obviously. Then in 2013, I went out drinking, had no intention on getting wasted. I took a 6-pack of Coors Light with me to this party, and I was like, okay, this is all I'm going to drink. I pounded that 6-pack, and then friends started giving me shots of Hard A. And I left there. I went to my friend's tattoo shop, grand reopening. They had a keg of Manny's. And then my piercer buddy had a gallon of Jack Daniels, which was my drink. And so I'm like drinking the Manny's beer. Then I'm like pounding the Jack Daniels with them. We closed down the tattoo shop grand reopening, which was probably midnight, 1 o'clock. And we go to hang out at the Gypsy Jokers clubhouse. He was friends with some of the guys. And I don't know, at that point I was in a blackout. I guess I was talking shit to the Gypsy Jokers. And they started, you know, beating the shit out of me. And my friend's just like, let him go, he's drunk. So I drove away from there and ended up passing out behind the wheel, with my foot on the brake with the car in gear at a stop sign. And the cops came up and found me, took me to jail. And at the station, I had stood up, I was unhandcuffed, and the officer put his hand on my chest, tried to push me down. And then I wouldn't sit down and I was kind of leaning forward. I mean, I'm not a small guy, so they were probably pretty intimidated. Another officer came up behind me, put a taser in the center of my back and tased me. And then I punched the cop in the side of the head and then got him in a headlock. He got me in a headlock and we kind of wrestled down to the ground as the other officer that tased me backs up and shoots a taser at me that time. And, you know, I would have never believed that that would have happened or that I'm capable of doing that, but it's on videotape and I have the video.
I've seen the video.
Yeah. And, you know, I wake up in jail. I knew I was out drinking, but I had no idea of why I was in jail. I was in a complete blackout from, I remember bits and pieces of being at the Gypsy Joker clubhouse drinking. I don't remember leaving. I don't remember him beating me up. And I sure don't remember getting tased or getting into an altercation with the police. So I end up getting out of jail. And my lawyer gets the video, and I meet with him like a week later, and I watch the video, and seeing myself in that light, it's like it was the true definition of incomprehensible demoralization, like not knowing that you it's possible that you can be that type of person. So that got me into my journey of being sober again. I have a little over 11 years sober, still sober to this day. Yeah.
Thank God.
There's a lot in there. I can't remember it all. And I don't like to go in too much detail, but, you know, I just, now I know that I drank and I did drugs, so I didn't have to feel about, you know, that shit I went through as a child. You know, there was physical, mental, sexual abuse, you know. As a kid, I was just acting out. You know, I didn't know, you know, they said that I had ADHD, so they put me on Ritalin, which is basically speed for kids.
Right.
And I never fit in, you know, and I've talked on this podcast before about, you know, we moved a lot as a family growing up, and I have no lifetime long friends. And, you know, as I'm older, I kind of look back and try to determine why that factor is. Because I know I'm a lovable person, I'm kind, I care about people. So, you know, today I try to turn that around and try to help inspire other people, whatever that may be, whether it would be to get clean and sober, you know, get on a health journey, like start caring about yourself, know your own value and your worth. So, yeah.
Knowing you now the way that I do, and seeing that video for the first time, like, I could not believe, like, I would have never, ever in a million years would have thought that that was something that you were capable of.
Yeah.
And even now, like, hearing the stories and stuff, like, I just, it's like two separate people almost, if that makes sense. And
I always said I was Jekyll and Hyde, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Put alcohol in me and I'm, you know, a completely different.
Were you mean?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a happy drunk at times, but I would get down at times.
Yeah. It was like with my mother, like she could drink beer and be the happiest person ever. But the second she went to hard alcohol or hard liquor and she drank Canadian Mist, and I cannot even do the smell of it now.
Right.
And the second she switched over, she became someone else, like instantly. So I understand what you say when you say that.
Yeah. I mean, I could probably, if I just stuck to beer, I could probably be just fine, but I'm just not willing to take that chance because.
No.
Once I get alcohol.
Dude, I'd put my foot so far in your ass now. Oh my God, yeah. I can't even.
I mean, once I get alcohol in my body, it's like there's just something mentally different.
Yeah.
About people with addictive personalities. That it's just like, you know, I can't control it once I start. So I just don't do it.
Yeah. Do you feel like you truly recognize and are aware of the turnaround and the progress that you've made in your life up till today?
Yeah, I mean, I think I do. I mean, it's a huge difference from what I used to be. You know, I still have some demons in there, but, you know, it's a work in progress. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. You know,
Jesus.
You know, dealing with, you know, a lot of childhood stuff, and, you know, it could really affect a person. But as an adult today, the important thing for me is that I take responsibility for the stuff that I do as an adult. You know, right or wrong, my parents raised me the best way that they knew how. You know, I know some about them is that, you know, they both experienced the same bullshit as a child that they had, or that I experienced as a child, and they never dealt with it. I was lucky. I did have some counseling growing up, and, you know, once I chose to get sober, there's a lot of internal work that goes on when you get clean and sober through the 12 steps. And, you know, you have to turn inside and reflect on your doings throughout your life. It's not about simply just stopping drinking and doing drugs. Right. It's about completely changing the way that I think.
Right.
You know, because I still can do that fucked up shit even without drugs and alcohol. So, I mean, it's, you know, I know that today I have a choice. I had a choice to stay in that, or I had two choices. I could stay in that, end up in prison, or I could...
Worse.
You know, yeah, or dead, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I punched the cop, and I was, you know... looking at my first felony as an adult, you know, because I did some stuff when I was younger. I was in juvenile hall. So I like to have my freedom, and I don't like to be told what to do. So, you know, jail's not a life for me. Jail or prison.
I'm dead.
I mean,
that's facts, though. Facts, for yeah. Sure.
I mean, I thought about going into the army, but I don't like taking... I don't like authority.
Yeah, that's not work.
So I was either going to go in there, try to whip an instructor's ass and get court-martialed, or just not go in. And I chose not to go in. So,
yeah, I know how much recovery and your program has played such an important part. How, and I know the answer to this, but I want to make sure that our audience knows the answer to this. How did your recovery program and the work that you have to do in that, how did it help you learn to forgive? What role has that played in the role of forgiveness for you?
I mean, it's been huge. Resentment is a horrible thing. Like, I don't have to forget what happened as a kid, but I need to forgive even today. I have to forgive people if I want a peace of mind and have peace in my life. Because we all know when we carry resentments, that's a bad place to be. You know, you're vengeful, you got anger, you got hatred, and learning to forgive other people is not for them, it's for you. So that's probably one of the biggest lessons that I learned in my recovery, is learning how to forgive people so I can be at peace.
Learning how to forgive yourself.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's number one on the list.
Yeah. I think, I know for me, that's where I struggle. Yeah. Forgiveness is definitely where I struggle. So I want to make sure that our audience that is listening understands that there is a way through it. There is a light on the other side. It's just, it's harder sometimes for different people to get there. Trust me, I know. But I think that's what makes you who you are, is your ability to forgive. And I think that's what makes your heart the way that it is because of your ability to forgive. And I don't even think you realize it, like, as yourself, but your ability to relate to other people and empathize with other people because of the things that you've been through in your life is, I mean, that's why people connect to you the way that they do. That's why I connected to you the way that I have.
Yeah.
And so that's huge. That's huge. I'm working real hard not to get emotional. I'm super protective over you. Anybody that knows us knows that. And it's hard for me to hear the dark stuff for you, because I just can't imagine you having to go through anything like that. And I, as your bestie now, I'd punch somebody in the fucking throat in a second, but like,
you would.
It's what we go through, or it's what you went through, that made you who you are. And, you know, so that's, yeah. You change lives every day and you don't even know it. Like,
I don't know.
You know, it's your ability to connect to people is your greatest power. And it's just, it's almost ironic when you think about, if you had not been through everything that you've been through, you wouldn't be able to sit and have this conversation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to look back, and I mean, there's a lot I left out. It was just kind of a short,
it didn't take episodes.
Synopsis. Yeah.
We don't need you to be like me. Listen, you don't need to talk the whole damn hour. No,
I don't. And it don't even need to be an hour episode either. So, but I'm grateful that, you know, that I have the people in my life that I do today. I'm grateful for you.
Stop it right
now. I know when we talked about this before, about when we started this podcast, or we came up with the idea to do a podcast, and we're like, yeah, let's do it. And then we kind of both got into a season in our life where it kind of got put on the back burner, and you had pulled yourself out of that season and wanted to start the podcast, and I was still stuck in that season. And I was like, the first thought that came to my head was like, no, I don't have the capacity to like give shit to anybody. And, but what actually came out of my mouth was like, yes, let's do it. Because I knew that, you know, you could stay stuck in that place, or you can get up and do something. And, you know, I get the greatest joy out of, you know, inspiring other people and, you know, just talk about my journey and the stuff that I've gone through in my life, and know that it may help somebody else. So,
yeah.
That's why we,
I just knew we needed something. I didn't know what your response was going to be to the podcast. Yeah. I just knew that we both needed something to light our fire, and right. not light our fire in our side hustle or none of that. This was real life. Like, we both were in a pretty dark place for a minute. And I knew I had started to feel better, but I could feel you that you weren't yet. And I just needed you to trust me and just hold on. You know what I mean? I'll drag you through the dark if that's what I have to do. Just trust me and hold on. And you did. And this is something, Aaron, I think however long this lasts or whatever comes of this, we will always have this. Oh, I'm going to get emotional. Jesus Christ. We'll always have this. We'll always be able to look back at this and be like, that's one of the times in our life that we were as authentic and real and emotional, whatever. And we had a fucking blast doing it.
Right.
Like, this is, you know, you guys have to understand, like, the way that Aaron and I speak on this podcast is how we speak every day. I literally am like the annoying little sister to him. He doesn't talk. I send him 15 messages before he finally responds to one. Like, this is just us in everyday life. And Aaron is who he is all the time. And, you know, it's take it or leave it. And I'm telling you, it's just, this is something we'll always have. And we'll be able to look back on and be like, we did that. We freaking did it just like today. A memory came up in my Facebook 1 year ago today. The idea was pitched. And then I posted it and was like, and look what happens when you just fucking do it. So, yeah.
What if? That's right? Where it all started.
Yeah. What if? What if?
What if?
So, I'm super proud of you. I'm so proud of you. And I love you to pieces. You know that.
Love you too. I was just thinking when you were saying we can look back on this podcast, and I was like, imagine us doing this when we're 95 years old.
Bro, listen, that's straight entertainment right there. I don't care what nobody says. Sponsored by Depends. I'm dead. Denture cream. Polly, yeah. Denture cream. I'm so dead. Talking no, crazy. It's you're a light. You are just joy, and I wouldn't trade you for nothing. Not even my luggage. So, nice. Right?
I appreciate that.
That's high remarks right there.
Right.
So, any last final words or anything that you want people to know about you that you think will help them in their time of darkness or anything like that?
Well, not necessarily about me, but that if you're struggling in alcohol or drug addiction, know that you and you alone are the only one that can pull yourself out of it, and you need to ask for help and know that there are, that you don't have to stay stuck that way. Life is much better on the other side. I mean, I always like to say that my worst day sober is better than my best day drunk. And that's, you know, a fact.
Yeah.
So, and I had money in my pocket. Like when I drank, I had zero money.
Yeah.
Cause I drank it all. So I mean, that was my only goal in life was to drink, and I didn't give two shits about anybody else.
And now every day, y'all, he has to make sure I'm breathing. I've ate. I'm like a normal human and I'm alive. I haven't, you know, cussed anybody out or anything like that. So just saying, like, you know, So
thank you, my friend. It's been another great episode.
Yeah. I listen. I'm excited for the world to hear this. I'm excited.
Appreciate it.
You're the best. Bestie.
Peace. Deuces. Please like and subscribe and share, and don't be afraid to reach out to us with feedback and topic ideas. We are here to offer hope to everyone, and we cannot do it without you. Until next time, I'm Aaron.
I'm Tab.
And this is the friendship we can see. This is who we are, and this is what we do. Have a good night. Peace.
Good night.